Just want to share a little word from the Lord that someone's handed me. You know, last week, I felt like there was a number of you guys who had a word from the Lord. And if you could just write them down, just write down what you feel like the Lord is saying, and you can put them up here in the silver bowls here. Just do that. Okay, share what you feel like the Lord is sharing with you. It's good. The word today that I received was, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you." Hallelujah. When you receive a word from the Lord, we always judge it in light of Scripture. And this right here is all Scripture. I believe it's Matthew 11 and then Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. And so we always judge it in light of Scripture. Always make sure that we honor the Lord when it comes to that. So if you would rise with me, if you're able, we're going to read the word for the day, Joshua chapter 1. Hallelujah. You guys are so good. You guys are so good. Not an ounce of rebellion in y'all. You guys are so good. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over to this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess.' To the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, 'Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in this land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all of your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving to them. Then you shall return to this land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise.' So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command them shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.'"
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gerald. You know, you really do a good job at this. You may have a seat. I can't really start. Craig, could you come up here and pray? Be of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Thank you, brother.
I told Mike that if he asked me to do this, I was going to encourage everyone in here, if you haven't, to go vote. You know, Mike Waldrop, one of your elders, had a great class for 3 weeks, talked a little bit about our government, and so do it. We are without excuse, and Scripture's pretty clear about that. And Scripture's pretty clear about what line you pick. Look to God for wisdom, and what party lines up closest to Scripture, and you go for it, and you trust God. Amen. Right? So if you haven't, do it. We are without excuse. And again, Scripture's pretty clear about that back in Leviticus. So, Father, we do thank you. We pray for Pastor Mike right now. We encourage him. Lord, we are so grateful that you have chosen us to be part of your family.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for Mike as a pastor, as a friend, as a brother in Christ, that you give him that reassurance that Holy Spirit covers him from the top to the bottom, Lord. And the words that he has for us today are timely. They're for this moment in history, and they're for each of us to hear what you have for us. And we thank you. We're so grateful for those blessings that you've given us. And help us not take any of this for granted, but give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Boy, oh boy, I'll never double dog dare you. Good morning. Y'all hear what was said?
Yep.
Did you hear the prayer?
Yeah.
Let me hear that you heard it.
Yeah. Oh.
Sometimes it just takes a different voice. It's very, very interesting. We're in the book of Joshua. And this Wednesday, we're going to have a worship night. Is that right? We have a worship night here. This Wednesday, we worship with the children, which is just precious. And then we continue the worship when they go to their classes. But then we're going to give you a message. And the message is going to be the following message of this message. So if you want to hear the rest of the story, you got to come on Wednesday. All right? And I'm encouraging you to come to a worship night, because I think there's a different freedom, and there's a different way of hearing, and there's a different way of responding to what the Spirit of God is speaking to all of us. So I'm going to encourage you to come here on Wednesday, and you see what's happening in the kids' ministry. And then you start thinking about, you know, my grandkids need this, or my children need this, or my great-grandchildren. I've seen some of you. Your great-grandchildren need this. So I want to encourage you to show up for that. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and of good courage is what God calls us to be. Today, I would say more than ever. However, we're going back into time where the same thing was obviously very necessary. To be strong and courageous. And when we fall short, actually, we can't afford to fall short in being strong and courageous. When the Israelites fell short of being strong and courageous, they were punished. Do you remember the story of the spies that were sent into the land that God had promised them? Do you remember when they went out and they saw all that the land had to offer? This is the land that God was going to give them. Do you remember that story? There were 12. One from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they were sent out. And when they went out into Canaan and they saw the beauty and they saw the wealth and they saw the fruit and they saw the beautiful things, they came back to give their report. And 10 of them said, "We cannot go there. There's giants in the land." They saw and they focused on the giants. And they went from a faith people to faithless by what they saw. And then there was, who were the two? You guys know?
Caleb and Joshua.
Said, "No, We've got to take this land right now. They saw the fruits. They saw the wealth. They saw all that could be. And they were fearless and they were ready to go. So what did God do? He punished them for their faithfulness, did not allow them to enter the promised land. He made them wait 40 years in the wilderness where they're fed manna from heaven. They were fed quail, different things that God met their needs, but they did not get to enter the promised land until all the people of the tribes who rebelled had passed away, that generation, and the next generation was ready to come in and go and receive what God had for them. Man, this message, there's a message before we even get into the message about fear and faith. And right now in the church, I'm watching too much TV. In the church, I'm watching too much TV. There is so much happening that it brings about a spirit of fear that rests on you if you allow it. It's haunting. Why did I want Craig to come up here and pray? Because he's tenacious. He's fearless. He's got passion. He's got power. And this isn't to embarrass you, Craig, but this is what comes out of you all the time. And it's for the things of God. We have to be like that in this day. Faith is the one thing that pleases God. There's no other way to please God but by your faith in Him. Fear is the contrary, the opposite to faith. And too many times we allow fear to hinder us from going to the place we were called to go. Most of the time. I saw this on TV. I saw Hollywood. I know you're all so impressed with them. And how they can't speak about what they really think and feel, even concerning political things, because of the feared retribution that will come from their peers and others. And they're petrified to speak the truth of what they really want to believe. They don't have the freedom to believe because of fear. They don't have the freedom to act because of fear. And in many ways, the church is much the same. How do I know? Because I lived in the world while I was a believer, and I know I can almost pinpoint the different times where I didn't step up and share faith when I knew I was supposed to because I was afraid of the retribution that would come. All right, this is just a backdrop to such a powerful story. This book is named after the central figure, and the central figure in this particular book is Joshua. His original name is Hoshea, which means salvation. Moses changes his name to Yahashua. And if I'm mispronouncing this, go back to this. You can look it up and see the correct pronunciations. Which means Yahweh is salvation. He is also called Yeshua, which is a shortened form of Yahashua. This is the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek name Isos. Is there a better way to say that?
Jesus.
So he's a type of Christ. He's a picture of Christ to us. Now here's what's happened. We come to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and that's when Moses passes away, and he passes the mantle that God gave him, and he passes it on to Joshua. Why? If we go back 40 years, Joshua's the one that says, no, we got to take the land right now. This is a big deal. We got to go. The fruits are like amazing. The gifts, the blessings that are all there, it's for our taking. Why could he say that when they saw the giants? Because he had his encounter with the living God. He knew God. Moses then passes away. And then there's some really interesting that happens. I'm going to go to Exodus 33:11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Moses is going to go pray. He goes to the tabernacle. Joshua goes with him, his servant man, his next in command. Moses spends his time with God. Moses leaves. Joshua sticks around. Why did he stick around? He wanted to spend time with God. He stayed to spend time with God. Moses, the leader, who talked with God, who took the commandments from God, who listened to him, who did miracles on his behalf, he was done. Joshua stayed to pray. Why did he do that? Numbers 27:18 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit.'" Oh, I get it. The Spirit of God dwelt in him. He was a man of the Spirit. This is so easy. This is like, it's just right there. All I got to do is just, bam, I can just hit it. It's right there. Do you have the Spirit of God in you? Or does fear prevent you from going to the place where you receive the Spirit of God? I want this is a real question. Go ahead. Let me hear your answers. Okay, four people. Let me ask that question again. Do you have, don't go on, do you have the Spirit of God in you? And if you don't, do you want to receive the fullness of what God has for you?
Yes.
Now, I know you see me up here. One person said, "Why was he mumbling up here?" That is the most beautiful thing. That is so pure and so honest. I mumble up here, and when I'm mumbling, you can't understand what I'm saying. The Spirit of God is speaking through me to the Holy Spirit, to the Father, with groans and moans that can't be uttered, that can't be understood sometimes by humans. It's a heavenly language. That's how it works in the gifting that he's given me. But there's more. When the Spirit of God dwells in me, I don't walk in fear. I call upon him all the time, and believe me, when I'm in the back, I am talking to God in the Spirit because I know what's in front of me here. You all are frightening. No, I'm kidding. What's in front of me here is the task of speaking the truth of God's word. And it's a big deal to speak God's word, and it meets resistance all the time. But when I come in prayed up, I'm up here yelling and spitting and, you know, doing whatever because the Spirit of God is at work. He wants to be at work in all of us. He wants to be at work when we're outside of this building is when he really wants to be at work. I could be holier than now. Even right now, I can be, "Oh, I'm so holy. Here I am. I'm going on and I'm dancing in the Spirit. I speak in languages I don't even understand." That's great. Can I tell a poor sister at Walmart that she needs Jesus? Can I tell a guy that I just meet on the golf course, "Do you know Christ?" Why is that so hard? Because it's stinking awkward. That's why it's hard. But it doesn't matter. This is what we're called to be. Now, God will give you ways and give you ends if you're about his business to go do what he's called you to do. How does that happen? It happens when you spend time with him on your own time. When you're spending time with God, he is meshing with you in a different way. And we go out in power, and it's not our own power. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Joshua is resting at the tabernacle because the Spirit of God was in him, and he wanted to relate to the Spirit of God. I want to relate with the Spirit of God. And sometimes he takes me to places I've never been. I'm not talking about Israel or any of that. I'm talking about he takes me to places in my mind's eye and in my spirit that I haven't been because he is going to show me something or he's going to do something through me. He will do that for you. But maybe it's okay to linger at the temple a little bit longer. Wow. That was all free. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19 of Exodus 33 says, "Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate," which means to consecrate him, "in their sight." So Moses' last tasks are going to be to put the command to lead from his mantle, and it becomes now Joshua's mantle. Joshua is going to carry the load of leadership for the Jews, the Israelites. And do this in front of the congregation. that the children of Israel would be obedient. It's God's working his plan out right before our eyes. And then in verse 21, it says, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of Urim. At his word, they shall go out. At his word, they shall come in. And he and all the children of Israel with him, with the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, set him before Eleazar the priest, and before the congregation, they laid hands on him and inaugurated him. What a strange word. Not one we're used to hearing in church circles. Just as the Lord commanded him by the hand of Moses. Why did he not just come out and fill him with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because Pentecost hadn't come yet. Commissioned him for a position with some of the authority that Moses had. Do you know what he gives us? He gives us all the authority. All authority has been given to me. This is what Jesus said. Therefore, because he has all authority, you go in that authority. To do what? Cast out demons, to pray for the sick, that they'd be healed, to do the works that he's called you to do. That's the same kind of thing that's happening. We have the benefit of receiving the Holy Spirit right now because all we have to do is ask for it. Ask for it and he'll give it to you. Why do you want to ask for the Holy Spirit and be a Christian nut? Because you want to be a Christian nut who is effective for the kingdom of God. That's why. A nut down here is a saint up there. He's one who celebrates in crazy ways when we get up there. I think of Scott, one of the most precious souls that I've known and who passed, that precious husband of yours, passed from death to life from life to death. Do you think he's missing this? Maybe the service. Maybe. Maybe the worship, probably. But what's going on up there with him is glorious. It's glorious because he walked with God. And by the way, the sicker he got, the more he walked with him. When he was able to walk, he was really walking with him. Oh, we got a great faith. Thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy 31:7 says it. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage. For you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to your fathers to give to them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you, nor do you not fear, nor be dismayed. I just made some new words in there. Forgive me. He goes before us. He goes with us. He empowers us. How much more today when we have the Holy Spirit, when we ask for it, than what he had? A portion of the power that Moses had. And he's going to go out in all that and do all these amazing, mighty things. Because God will go before him. God will go with him. And God will be his rear guard and stand behind him. He will do that with us today. When we have an elder come up here and talk about something with it's very sobering, Craig, how you shared what's been on your heart forever. And he shares it with the passion and the power. When we go before people, we have to walk in power and we have to know that God will be there when we go there. And that's by faith. And when you just say, trust God, you know, we're taking steps, it looks kind of like this when we're taking steps to go in the direction he's called us to go. And then you got the saints that are so filled with the Holy Ghost that they sprint out of there and they forget their coat and their books and there's a whirlwind whipping behind them. Wow. Be strong and of good courage. When we don't have faith and we don't operate by faith, it's a shot at God, really. We don't trust him to do the things he said he would do. What a problem we have as a church. And I'm not talking about Living Hope Church. I'm talking about the greater church. And I talk about the greater church because the biggest thing that's stirring in me over the last, I'd say, 2 years is the slide of the church. You hear me talk about it often because how can the church slide? Because we don't believe the truths of his word. Or we're feeble and weak with it. We're too worried about what man thinks and not enough worried about what God thinks. And we say we don't take even the first steps. We send missionaries instead of being missionaries. That's not counting you, Ray and Lum Yai. Are they here today? Are they playing hooky today? Gonna have to have a meeting. They're going. They're gonna go. Because God is calling them and sending them. The Kellys in Minneapolis right now, they were called to go, so they went. And God was with them through really difficult times, and he's still with them through difficult times. Pray for them. Yes. Keep praying for the Kellys. Jason Witt, a missionary we picked up because we knew the Kellys. And it's one this church supports. Where does he go? He goes on the outskirts of Muslim territory where there's over 100,000 Muslims, and that's where God called him to go. In case you don't know, Muslims and Christians don't really gel well. But there's Muslims coming to Christ. Amen. Because of the work they're doing. Why did they go? Because they were told to go. And so they went. And don't think they don't pray. Know that they pray. They pray fiercely. I should probably get to our scripture for today. Jesus. And then Deuteronomy 31:23 says, then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. If I took it from land, the land, the promised land, and I just fast forwarded 3,000, 4,000 years to this day today, the promised land is different because of Christ. The promised land is eternal. Because of Christ. The promised land is heaven. Because of Christ. That's what we're offering people. Is heaven. Eternally heaven. Because of Christ. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. He will go before you. He will dwell in you by his Spirit. He will speak to your spirit to send you to go. And he's not sending us to Muslim nations. He's sending us to across the street. He's sending us to the school boards. He's sending us to the voting booth. He's sending us to the places we're called to go where change can be affected because we're listening to what the Spirit of God says. He's sending us to our children. My kids won't talk to me anymore. We had a big blow up. He's sending you to your children because you're going to go to them with a different spirit. Because you're going to go to them without the idea of winning versus losing. You're going to go to them because the Spirit of God has so compelled you to love them. There's nothing you can say to your child that's doing this against you that they don't already know. They need to know that you love and care about them. And it's not easy to go back to family, but he's calling you to go back to family. I don't even know who to look at because I don't know who has family issues, but I'm looking like this. It's all of us. In Jesus' name. So we know that in Joshua 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came and passed that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. That was the end of Deuteronomy and starting into Joshua, that the great Moses is now dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over to this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. This is the next generation that is now going into the land. All right. God is blessing. He's honoring his promise. And his promises are conditional in the sense that you believe. His promises are conditional in the sense that you take steps of faith. Faith and belief. That's how we please God. That's really also how we're blessed by God. And he'll do what he needs to do to get us to that place of understanding. Now, this promise is so current today, and this is where I just kind of want to ebb over this for a little bit. Just know that the Jews are moving from the east to the west, so crossing over the Jordan is to end up on the west side of the Jordan. Steve, could you put that slide in? Got a new toy. If I can get a map up there, you guys will really be something. All right. I'm going to tell you my error for my whole life was I always pictured them coming up out of Egypt and then crossing over the Jordan into the promised land, and that's backwards. What happened was they got wandered for quite a long time, and they come way down here, and then they crossed the Jordan River from east to west. All right, I don't know why I'm telling you that, other than God had made a promise to Abraham, and the promise was the land that he was going to give them. That promise holds today because the Bible says it holds forever, the promise to the land. This land here, if I took this little toy that I just bought today, apparently puppies like it, takes us from here down. You can't see the other one that I have here, but it takes us down all the way down to Gaza, which all belongs to Israel. That was part of the promise that God made with Abraham. When the Israelites settled, three of the tribes, or two and a half of the tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of Manasseh, were on this side of the Jordan River. Today, this side here is not even part of Israel. It's Transjordan, Jordan area. If Israel was to claim all the land that God promised to them, and maybe I'm going to look at my notes here. This would be good for all of us. Lebanon, the Gaza Strip, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, Turkey, parts of Turkey, parts of Saudi Arabia would all belong to Israel. Why is this election such a big deal? I mean, it's just interesting how this all comes up. This is a big deal because in our government, we have people that do not care about what happens to Israel. The church has been called to pray for Israel and the salvation of Israel, but we are allies with Israel. And it's to have an understanding of what belongs to them truly by covenant. And the covenant was not because of anything man did. The covenant was because of what God did. When they split the animal, opened it up, and you're supposed to walk hand by hand through the sacrifice to honor the covenant, Abraham slept. God walked through the covenant because he is going to do this. He is going to accomplish it. And this is what he has in store for the descendants of Abraham on the Isaac side. He will also take care of the Ishmaelites, which are the Arab nations primarily. All right, so why is this such a big deal? Because Israel's been forced to give up more and more and more of its land. And if you look at our politicians, what they're barking and fighting about is Gaza and Palestine, which wasn't even a thing back in the day. And they want to, well, you need to get along with them, let them live there and invite them in, and Gaza really belongs to this people. No! This promise happened 4,000 years ago, and it's forever. Why do we vote? Because the politicians on the wrong side of the aisle are pushing against Israel. We got I don't even know how to explain it. We got a handshake going with a knife in back of us ready to swing it with somebody who's supposed to be our greatest ally. That's what it looks like and feels like to me. And I feel in my spirit that our country could this quick turn our backs on Israel. How do I know? Well, I know because the Holocaust took place. And that was a real thing. And the church was silent. That I know. The church acquiesced to Hitler. You worry about God, he told them. I'll worry about the country. And they acquiesced. We can't acquiesce anymore. And there's ways that we can affect change. I know I'm speaking things that go against the flow of the culture. Who cares? We have to speak the truth. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm doing this because it's so important. I had so many things to say, and I'm just kind of spitting right now. The people that are coming against the nation that we're supposed to be supporting, like our own, have no good intent. And they use innocent people to accomplish their goal and their purpose. And make no mistake, their goal and their purpose is to eradicate the Jew. Why? Because they're godless. Or if they have a god, it's a false god. Muhammad is not Jesus. Muhammad is not God. He is a god, small g, like the Romans, like the Greeks, like the Egyptians used to create so they had something to worship. Why would they do that? Because God has put it into each of us the desire to worship, the understanding we need to worship. But he also made it very clear that he alone is to be worshiped, not the things we contrive and we create. That's not what we're to worship. So the God we worship, who is God, capital G, says, this is my people. Love them. Love them. Pray for them. That's what we're called to do. For most of us here, there's two ways to do that. One is by praying for them. Praying for the salvation of Israel. Praying for the protection of Israel. Praying for the benefit and the blessings to fall upon Israel. And then your second prayer is that pray that you don't wander away from them. Pray that you continue in this. I don't even know if I'm making any sense right now, but you know what? I got it clearer than I ever had it. In my head, it's going really well. Thank you for that, Jesus. All right. Yeah, went through that. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Fear, talked about that. Talked about the scaredy cats. Got another map here. I'm not going to show it. Covered it. He says four times in this reading, and I'm going to close with this so the worship team can come up. God says four times in this reading. Can anybody quote him? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and courage. My statement to all of us is we cannot be strong in our own strength. We have a concept of strength that's really nothing sometimes. My strength comes in Christ. He is my strength when I am weak. I know that song. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Oh, some harmony going on. It's so beautiful. He is the strength. I walk in his strength as best as I can. And when I start to wander from him, my strength weakens. It's just almost that simple. So I go back to being filled more and more and more with his strength. God is going to send you to some places that are frightening. If you're in him, he will send you, but he will empower you. I got a brother sitting out there right now. I'm not even going to look at him. And God is sending him. But if you don't go in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get crushed. If I don't stand up here in the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be ineffective and I'm going to be crushed. The Holy Spirit's everything. Joshua was used by God because he lingered in God and he had God in him. That was before Pentecost. He had God in him. Today, because of Pentecost, we can have God in us, and all we have to do is ask. That's it. Ask and believe. If you ask for it, he says he gives good gifts. It says it in Luke chapter 10. God's not going to give you a rock or a serpent or a snake or any of that stuff if you ask for especially when you ask for the Holy Spirit. You just have to ask for it. Over the last 8 months, I've been a Christian for over 30 years, and I've had people coming and wanting more of the Holy Spirit over these last several months. And I'm watching them when they ask for it, I'm watching them receive by faith. And I'm seeing the change right before my eyes. And I'm seeing some of the giftings that God has poured into him right before my eyes. Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that I am a child of God. Once I know that I am a child of God, I walk in that confidence. How do I know? I know by faith that I'm a child of God. How? I invited him in. He lives in me. So I am his child. And he's going to use me. And he's going to use every other person in this place that wants to receive the fullness of what he has. You don't get washed away. You won't get washed away in the torrent of the nonsense that's sweeping through the world. You'll stand strong. You'll be courageous. The things that used to frighten you will not frighten you any longer. You will be strong in the Lord. He will pour courage into you because he will pour himself into you when you ask for it. And he will give you the words to speak in the day and the time and the hour that you need to speak it. He will give you the heart and the compassion to reach out to those that maybe you've railed on. One of the most moving experiences I had was on a Tim Kelly mission trip to Turkey. And in that, we heard the testimony of a man named Kamal, who was a Muslim. And he was working a Christian camp. And he wants to tell his story of how he came to Christ. And he came to Christ because the Spirit of God taught him about the name of Jesus. And I would say it haunted him, but that's not the right word. It moved him, and he couldn't identify it. All he knew is he needed to meet that Jesus. And he had an encounter with the living God. And in that encounter, it changed his life. He was a nominal Muslim guy. And now he's a full-blown Christian saint working because he opened himself up and he asked for it. He asked for it, and when you ask for it, he gives you the good gift. If you don't ask, you don't get. You ask for it. And I would just say this to the saints, to the Christians. You feel your bones are dry and you feel ineffective and you feel afraid of the mouse that ran in your house. And there's no fire in your belly. Jesus went away to pray on a regular basis. I mean daily, multi times daily. Praying and spending time with the Father just like Joshua did. Spending time in the tabernacle, if you will. Being refreshed and renewed. This is not a one deal and we're all done thing. This is a constantly going back to the well for the fresh filling. Why do you need a fresh filling? Because you used it up. You used it up in reaching out to people, praying for them, laying hands on them, sharing the truth of God's word with them. Gerald, you should be flat out on your face exhausted, because that is what you do. And you do it with great effect, in my opinion. But if you don't get renewed, it will burn you out. And that's between you and God. But I'm just saying, I see what you do. And God sees what you do, even more important. But to do the work that you do, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It goes for this team back here. Come filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to fill you. Spend time with him. And something will happen to the music that's better than what it even is already. And it's the anointing of God will be upon you. And then when you're done, it's not over. Get back to the tabernacle and spend time with your Savior. That's what Joshua did. And he was a great man. That's what we're called to do. I am so fortunate because I'm in a position where I have to do it almost every minute, it feels like. I have to do it often. And I do. I do. I do it in tears. I do it in laughter sometimes, especially when I'm confessing sin. God, why am I telling you this? You already know what I did. You know what I thought. You know what I'm doing. I am sorry. Give me the strength not to do it. Done. Now I got something for you. I want you to go over there and I want you to speak about this to that person. I want you to go over here and I want you to lay hands on that person and I know you don't like them. I know you. You go pray for that person. Lay hands on them. He does that to me all the time. And I know when he's doing it. Why? Because I spend time with him. Have I spent enough time? Heck no, it's a drop in the bucket. I spent more than maybe that guy or that person over there. I spent a little bit more, but the reality is I have to be in it all the time. And here's the greater reality. So do you. I'm talking to a bunch of people in the church. You're going to be going out there and talking to the world. You do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. And speak truth to them, and you speak truth to them in love. Here's what I'd like to do. If you've never asked for the fullness of God, the fullness of His Spirit, the baptism of His Holy Spirit, you simply have to ask. Say, God, I want more of you. I feel limp. I feel like there's no strength in my body. I feel listless sometimes. And I know you're real. I just need more of you. I'm going to ask you to come on up and ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the equipping to go out and do the things that God has called you to do. We don't do it in our own strength. And if we do, we don't last long. Gerald, I'm going to ask you to come up. Craig, if you can come on up. Michael, is John in here? No, he's not. You want a proxy for your dad? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Come on up here, Ian. Jesus. Oh, man. What we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of worship. I want you to sing. I want you to enjoy the worship. And I want you to feel free to come up and talk to any one of these people up here and ask them for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mike, you and Craig can work together. That way it's safe if anything comes up. Tim, you and Janice, if you guys could come up here. Sally, Shelley, if you'd come with Sally and pray with her, that would be great. The day we live in today, you cannot thrive in this day without the power of the Holy Spirit. The enemy will sweep you away, I promise you. Okay? So we have to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. The church never grew until Pentecost. When the Spirit came down, the church went out. Prior to that, they were hiding in an upper room, fearful and afraid. They walked with Jesus for 3 years, but they were fearful and afraid. Why? Because they didn't walk in power. They walked in fear. Why did they walk in fear? Because they didn't have the power. I think this is just such an incredible opportunity for people to take that next step with Christ by His Spirit for the work that's before us in this day that we live. This day we live is crazy, and it ain't going to get better. It's going to get crazier. And those who are filled with the Spirit are going to see the opportunities better. So, Michael, you can take us through a couple of just whatever's on your heart. Sing away. And then we're going to be up here to pray. I'm even going to put a mint in so you don't suffer with preacher breath on your face. But we want to pray for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you come on up.